If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you record it, Amy?
Did
you press record?
I did press record.
You would never not press record, would you? That's not something you'd do, is it?
No, I think I have done. I have made mistakes before.
Not that many. Are you missing your mate Dave?
I do miss him.
Oh.
I really don't see him that much, because obviously he's the busiest man in the world.
But you speak all the time, don't you?
I don't speak all the time. I normally contact him when I'm feeling a bit down, because he always cheers me up by being really horrible to me. But he always makes me laugh. Or like, just if I have a problem, he's my go-to person.
Yeah.
But we do, we do chat, but I... So we had Halloween recently, and that's always, we always do Halloween, because we always dress up.
Yeah, no.
And he comes around and pumps.
Yeah, everybody got to see it. Yeah.
And it's just nice.
Like, that's your thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
Halloween.
Yeah.
And it's nice, because the kids love him.
And he makes an effort as well.
Yeah, he does. And I know that he likes carving the pumpkins and stuff. And it was a bit shit this year, because obviously he wasn't there. So I had to do it. And it was all right.
But wasn't the same.
And then we did the photo, and he wasn't there to direct the photo shoot.
What?
So I sent him the fucking photo, and he was like, he's standing in front of the light. I was like, I know, but that is literally, I don't have anywhere in my house. My house is so small. There are no blank walls you can stand in front of. There just aren't. So I kind of drew my blinds over my back doors, because that was the only like blank canvas. And then there wasn't enough room to leave space for him to insert himself into the photo, because my front room's so small that I couldn't get the fucking...
I know, I saw. But he was in the corner, which was funny.
Like, it worked, but I was like, I said he's not allowed to go anyway.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Anymore.
But who's our lovely friend this week?
Well, our lovely friend this week is the lovely Francesca Burr, who's a lovely, lovely girl. And we'll hear all about her story. She's got an amazing story.
I can't really
believe it.
No.
What happened to her. But she's an amazing artist, so we'll post all of her links to her stuff as well, because she's extremely talented. But yeah, she had, she'll tell you all about it, but she had a bit of a nasty accident.
Yeah.
Well, a very nasty accident, and then the results of that. But
it's a good one. It's a very good one. And it's a very in-depth look at somebody's life after the events have happened. Yeah. I think that's why it's quite, it's quite a poignant one for us, I think.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was an emotional one for me. Even though it's weird, because I said to Harry, like, I got very upset when we recorded it.
Who are you talking to?
I'm looking out the window.
I know, I said to Harry.
I'm talking to your tree. But when I listened back, it's actually a very light chat. Like, you can't tell that I got upset. It's funny. Like, it is it's a nice one to listen to, and it's very interesting, and it is very kind of upbeat, considering, like, what we're talking about. But, yeah, it was an emotional one for me.
Yeah.
Very emotional today. Talking about emotion a lot.
Yeah, well, it's probably, I know what you're going to say. You haven't said it for a while.
I've actually just come on.
I knew she was going to say that. It's going round my period. I'm hormonal. Everybody's hormonal.
But normally I'm all right now. It's before. But fucking, our friend has told me to watch this programme called This Is Us, which is on Prime. I'm a bit behind the time, so most people have probably already seen it. Every episode I cry. But it's not like a depressing show, but it's just really fucking emotional. And I texted the other night, I was like, what are you doing to me? I can't handle
What is it called? Stuff.
This Is Us. It's about a family.
Right, okay.
It is really good.
Okay.
It's not as cheesy as you think it might be.
Okay.
But yeah, it is good. But I just cry every week. I love a bit of Prime.
I love a bit of Prime.
You watch The Boys?
No.
Oh, that is amazing. Do you like superhero stuff?
No, it's not my favorite. It's not my go-to. If Idris is there,
he can't watch it.
Oh, is it?
It's proper gory and violent. Adult. They're bad superheroes. They're not good superheroes.
No, I'm just not. It's not my thing.
Oh, it's good though.
I like baking programs and cake programs, chocolate programs.
A bit of cake.
But yeah, enjoy this one.
Enjoy.
What number is this in?
I don't know.
Okay, all right, no worries. All right.
I'll tell you at the end.
All right, Tulipip. Bye.
Work.
So. I'm very excited today because I've got someone on the podcast that I've wanted to get on the podcast for a very long time, but it's just been sorting shit out, isn't it? We've got the very...
She's a busy bee. Yeah. She's a very busy bee.
She's a very busy bee. We've got the amazing Francesca Burr on, who is an incredible lady, an extremely talented artist, very beautiful woman.
That's very sweet.
And has got an amazing story, which I still can't really believe. I tell people and I'm like, I still can't actually believe what happened to you.
It's crazy.
And you've got an amazing little baby as well.
Yes.
Little baby boy.
That's the one thing I said to, I sent Amy a message last night. I said, oh my God, that baby is so cute.
Yeah, he's a babe.
Your baby is absolutely gorgeous. He's like, he's got cheeky chops.
Yes, exactly. But I'm so glad you say that because I obviously think he's beautiful, but I just thought, am I one of those mums that thinks their kid's gorgeous? Because there's always the mum that's like, oh, this is so-and-so. And you're like, ooh. And I don't know if he's gorgeous because I think he is because I have to because I'm his mum.
He's cute. Yeah. He's like on a cute scale. He's well cute.
Do you remember that picture of Juno when she came out and she looked like the nanny from Count Duckula? Did you ever see that?
I don't think I've seen that.
She still looks like Nanny from Camp Duckula.
When she came out, I was like, oh, she's so beautiful. And then she just started changing. I was like, oh my God, she looks like Nanny from Camp Duckula.
Yeah, the babies she's are funny things so when they first came out. Like when they first come out, they're never, you know, obviously, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, obviously, as mothers. Yes. But yeah, no, some of them look fucking horrible.
Yeah, they are not all cute.
And then they call them. And then they call them hilarious names to go with it, you know. Nigel.
It's so weird, actually, because that's one thing. When you're pregnant, people always give you an opinion whether you ask for it or not. And the amount of name suggestions. Yeah. Derek. Why Derek?
Derek.
Like, I like the program.
Is Derek beautiful?
But there's no cute Derek babies, I don't think. Sorry to any Derek's out there.
No, there aren't. There aren't. No. It's not. It's a wrong
one. Big time.
No.
So, I met Francesca. How long ago did I find? How long have I known you?
I was trying to work it out. I think the last time I saw you was maybe 2014. But okay. Juno was tiny.
Was a baby.
She was like sitting up, but that was it.
What, and you haven't seen each other since?
No.
Well, I think Juno
she
was
is
walking.
A shit friend.
But when last
she's
time I
she's a
saw
shit
you.
Friend.
Yeah. But you moved. So when I met you, you were a working artist, weren't you? And you were learning to be a tattooist as well. So what kind of, tell us about your art, first of all, because it is amazing.
Oh, wow, thank you very much. I was working in the city, actually, in a very well-paid job that I hated so much. Like, it was sales for a company, like a conferencing company, and all to do, it was just...
God, suck being an accountant.
It was just dealing with really very wealthy people in industries that I actually have a lot of problems with, when there's so much horrible stuff going on in the world, and it's just these events to make these people richer, and I hated it. And I'd sit there in conferences, and I'd have the Financial Times, like, checking out what bank was doing this and what energy thing was doing that. And I just started drawing on the Financial Times with a pen that I'd got from the office, and I was like, oh, look at that. That looks nice. And it cost me nothing to do. And it's written atop all these people that all they care about is they just like seem greedy to me. So so I just started joining on the FT on the stocks and shares pages, which I really loved. And then I suppose it developed into basically drawing memes, just very sarcastic things or inappropriate things that probably as Bowden grows up is going to be like, what the hell did you write that for? And that's a lot of swearing, but it was good. It was doing really well.
So what do you do with your art now then? Do you sell it? Do you commit? Is it commissioned?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, with everything I'm going through at the moment, I'm only doing it sparingly. I've still got people, like random, I don't know if they're going to hear this. There are a few oddballs that would just buy anything from me. So I sell it. Not like my body or my clothes or anything. I mean, like my artwork. And this is like in America. Yeah. I do that.
Oh, we don't care about them. They're nuts anyway.
I just hope they don't hear
that's
it.
All right.
Post up all, because I've got a few pieces of yours hanging up. You did cartoon like versions of the girls.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
I
like,
love
superhero
that.
Masks.
They were little superheroes, weren't they? They're so lovely.
And I've got Pinky and the Brain
of course.
On the FT as well. Yeah, which is one of my favourites. And the Trump cards that you did.
Oh, yeah. I should post that again, actually. That's relevant.
Yeah, of Trump, funnily enough.
Very
on my toilet.
Relevant.
Yeah.
Very.
But, yeah, so you were always very fit, weren't you? You always did loads of yoga, and I remember it all kind of started that your shoulder kept dislocating.
Yeah. So when I first met you, I'd only earlier been diagnosed with Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which... if you just know the tiny basics of it, it sounds pretty good because it's just, it's hypermobility, but mine actually, after years of tests and all sorts, it's not just that I'm really flexible. It affects all soft tissue in my body. So that's like my organs and my blood vessels and all these different things. I don't know, Amy, you might remember I had a appendicitis and that because everything inside was just all compacted in and it was just not working. It was all stretched out and tearing on it, and that was because of EDS. It's all the soft squishy stuff in you holding you together.
Yeah,
it just wasn't it just wasn't working. So there's loads of different things which made my pregnancy and labor very very complicated. So I was high risk for that. That's why I did yoga, because of all joint instability, I always have to make sure my joints are like as guarded as possible by muscles. It's just one thing after another, basically.
Yeah.
But.
So what happened there? So you obviously you were suffering with the, and I know that you were having, you had an operation,
yeah,
didn't you, to kind of correct on your shoulder. And then you were taking a lot of drugs.
Yeah.
A lot of painkillers and
like
stuff.
Legal drugs?
Legal, definitely drugs. Legal ones.
Yeah.
Can we make that quite clear? Poor Francesca.
Yeah, I don't want to get in trouble. But yeah, no, just normal medication to try and keep it balanced. But it's just agony. Like, I'll try and show you, but like, I don't know if you can see. My shoulder's not in joint now. That's not meant to be like that. It's meant to be up like that.
Yeah.
So this shoulder is now permanently subluxed or dislocated, which is agony. It doesn't stop hurting.
Oh wow.
But given all, like, they give I'm given medication daily, but like the kind of thing like codeine and things like that, which is, I think it's an opioid. Is it an opioid? You're not meant to take that for more than 3 days in a row, and I've had it on prescription since 2016. I don't take it every day at all. At all, because
but when things get bad,
but I don't ever take them when I've got Bowden, because it's not just, it will alleviate the pain for a little bit. The pain in my head is a million times worse than any of my joints. But the, it might alleviate the pain for a moment, but the side effects that come with it, it's just not worth it. I'd be, I couldn't look after, well, I wouldn't want to look after a child if I'm basically drunk or on some illegal drugs. So I don't take them, I just suffer it. And then when he's at his dad's for a day or two, then I'll get a bit sleep and let myself take one sometimes, but still. Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult.
So what happened when you had the accident then? Because I thought, was that a result of all the medication that you were taking? Did you then develop epilepsy? Have you got epilepsy?
Yeah, I have epilepsy. It wasn't, it's not linked to that at all. Epilepsy is just a natural thing in you. Well, I'd say it's unnatural and I hate it. But I didn't have epilepsy before. It's just, it's actually, and I feel like I should sue Theresa May for this, because my first noted, like, witnessed seizure was the day of the Brexit vote in the town hall in Halstead in Essex. And I was with my brother. I just woke up on the floor and I was like, what's going on? And George is there and a very handsome paramedic. And I was like, oh, hey, I didn't know what was going on. And George, that's my younger brother, who's like my best friend. He's an absolute dream. He was saying, you've had a seizure, and the paramedics are here just to make sure everything's okay, blah, blah, blah. I was taken to hospital. I was like, did I vote? Did I vote, though? He's like, I did, but it didn't make a difference. So, honestly, like, that was the day everything started changing. And every time I see the word Brexit, I'm just like, right, like, it's just a weird trigger, really stresses me out. But that was when it first started happening. So then I had a few more seizures after that, and there seemed to be, but one of my the biggest difficulties is I don't have any warning. Lots of people talk about having an aura, like they have a tingling or a pain in some way, or a weird vision blur, or it might be that if they see flashing lights that sets them off, but I don't have any of that. They just come out of nowhere.
Just happens. How have you had a few since that first time?
Loads. Yeah.
Have you?
The worst, well, no, not the worst. The second worst one was, so whilst I was a freelance artist and tattoo artist, I was also teaching. So I started, I was very busy back in the day. I started teaching in a primary school, working with one specific child who needed an extra bit of support. And he was one of those, like, people thought he was naughty, but the naughty kids in school are always my favourites because they've got so much character. And I know everyone learns in different ways. Like, you just have to find a way to reach out to them so that they can understand.
Yeah.
And he ended up doing pretty well. In fact, I've spoken to him not too long ago, and he's doing his GCSEs this year. And I was like, you're always going to be 7 years old to me. So I started doing that, just do a one-on-one thing, and I started a book club and doing little French things here and there and art stuff. And then the next year they hired me as a French and art teacher for the whole school. So I do like 2 hours for each class because they start, they introduce French now in the juniors, yeah. haven't they? No, infants.
Yeah.
Mm. In infants. So my youngest kids were year one. And I'd just go and sing songs and nursery rhymes and be like, isn't this word funny? And they just laughed. I think everyone in that school yeah. could do head, shoulders, knees and toes. I'd make them do it at lunch break and all sorts. It's so funny. But the class, I started teaching with the one boy, but I ended up teaching all the kids, of course, because I was doing French and art. Yeah. They were rehearsing for their year six leavers play. It was just me and they were up on the stage and I was like, sing louder and get them to go and get them all excited. It was just towards the end of the year. And I had a seizure in front of them. Aww. And that really, really, so I'm going to get a lot upset. That really upsets me because yeah. they were 10 and 11 yeah. years old and they had to see that. But they all reacted yeah, incredibly.
Yeah.
I think one of the kids did Boy Scouts or something and well, someone went to get the head teacher and they knew to just, they just kept me in, basically yeah. in recovery position yeah. and just watched me convulsing,
yeah.
which I just think is horrible. I don't think a child well, should. I mean, but to be fair, the head teacher then did an assembly afterwards and talked about how they acted well and if anything happens like that. Yeah, and so they had yeah. a bit of a learning thing from it.
We had quite a few people with epilepsy in our school.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. One particular who's he's really close to our family. He got them quite bad, really quite bad.
Yeah.
So we were quite used to it, I think. And we were taught how to deal with the situation.
Yeah, I think that's really yeah. good.
But
that is
yeah.
really good.
Yeah. But I guess it was only because we'd had people in the school who had epilepsy. Yeah. So it was yeah. like a, you know, a safety measure, yeah. I guess.
That's good.
Because you could bang your head, you could fall down yeah. the stairs.
Tell me about it.
Being in the playground. You know, and it's like, at any point, it just, yeah, it's, and it takes ages, doesn't it, for you to get yeah. over it. Like, I can remember this one individual, I won't say his name, but it used to take about 4 or 5 days to get over it.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, but bad. I still have them now, and yeah. it's taken me longer and longer. It's really horrible.
How often do you have them, roughly?
What do you mean, like, how many minutes?
How often do you have them?
I get asked that anytime I see the epilepsy nurse or neurology, and it's a weird one. I've actually not had one now. Let me check my calendar. I think it's been 2 or 3 months since I've had one.
Oh wow,
that's okay. like the longest ever. Touch wood. Yeah, God, touch this would be where I'm like, touch. I'm going to keel over in a second. Yeah. Oh God, I don't know what you say.
Don't say that. Francesca, is there anything that helps you? Is there anything that has
2 seconds? Made that I'm so sorry. Length, can you answer it? It's probably just the postman. Thank you. Sorry.
She's so unprofessional. Is there anything that's made that length of time a little bit longer? And I know there's studies with cannabis and things like that. Is there anything that you have to take that's made it a little bit easier for you?
Not medication wise, all they do yeah. is say to take a painkiller, a heavy painkiller, which I don't do. Maybe I'll take a paracetamol, but I don't really do it. What I have instead yeah. is like coping strategies. So I wear this fancy watch here, which yeah. is like a smart watch, but it detects convulsions. And I've okay. got it sends out an alert to my contacts, which is at the moment my mum, my stepdad and my brother yeah. George. So they call up and okay. it sends a GPS and an audio recording.
Right.
So they'll know. But I've only, exactly. yeah, they know where I am and if I'm not at home or whatever, or they call me up and see how I am and all those kind of things.
And so does it worry you when you're with, I love the name Bowden. it reminds me of my my grandma lived in, she's from Altrincham near Manchester. And she lived in Bowden Vale, so it's when you said it, I was like, aww. So it does that worry you when you're sort of in that sort of mummy care mode that could potentially happen?
Always. And I mean, right, so I've only had this watch, I think, a year, year and a half maybe, but it's been, I got out of hospital from the operation on my head in February 2017. So it's been 3 years, but I've not had this for 3 years. When he was little, I walked him out, just took him for a walk in the pram. He was a tiny, like a few weeks old baby, and I had two seizures just on my own. And so then I just stopped going out on my own with him.
Yeah.
And I was by a road one time. Can you imagine if anything bad had happened? It was horrible.
So do you pick him up when you, do you, I guess you have to be quite mindful about, like, you know, standing up with him and things like that. You have to really, like, be on your toes with
it. Yeah, big time. And I think recently, the last year, I seem to have seizures when I'm overly tired. And I've never been a big sleeper, but I barely sleep now, as probably you can see from my face. I got an hour and a half nap 2 days ago in the day. When
Are you being serious?
Thank you.
You should you should have them those drops.
Which drops?
Those drops CBD, that you take, Amy. Yeah.
Have you tried CBD?
Do you take
CBD?
Any CBD oil, or would you consider sort of taking anything?
Well, I've
like
asked for it because there are some people that are taking CBD for epilepsy.
Yeah.
But what they've said so far is they don't know the long-term effects for someone with my brain injury. So holding off from that at the moment. I've got some things that are like super, super heavy sleeping tablets, which I take on a night when Bowden's not here and not coming back the next day because I'm still groggy afterwards. But yeah, so if I've not slept for 5 days, that's my limit now, then I don't go out with him again. But normally I take him to the park every now and then and do all that stuff. But it's just not worth risking it, really.
No, it isn't. So Amy's told me about the accident that you had. Can you sort of, do you mind?
No, not at all. In fact, I'm really happy to talk about it because it's the kind of thing, I think, to look at me, you wouldn't know necessarily that anything's going on because the Ehlers-Danlos and a brain injury, they're hidden. They're invisible illnesses, which sounds like a really lazy way of explaining it, but they're disabilities. But you wouldn't know it if you're not in a chair or with something very obviously physically wrong with you. It's difficult to tell. So my memory's quite hazy for lots of it, but I'll explain that after. But the week building up to it, so it happened on a Friday evening. I didn't go into school all week or to this tattoo studio. I didn't do any work because I had a headache, and I'd never had a headache before in my life. And it was just like the most alien thing to me. And then Friday, my mum and Chris came back from work and said they booked a table for dinner, like to go out for dinner because it might cheer you up. And I was like, I'm feeling really weird. About looking back in my phone, actually, I sent something to one of my friends saying, how weird, I've woken up and I can't feel one side of my body. It was so weird. But that now is obviously a big red flag. But I didn't know it at the time because it didn't hurt. It wasn't painful. I was just like, how funny. I was just like completely numb. And then, so my mum and Chris went to dinner and came back up. And neighbours thought there was a burglar or something because my dog Bert was barking a lot. And they tried to get in the front door and they couldn't. I was like blocking it. And then they came in and, I saw one photo that Chris had taken afterwards because like the amount of blood was unbelievable. It looked like something out of CSI. It was like gross. But I was still, I wasn't like out of it. I was technically, just lying there like really confused. So they sat me up and my mum was calling 999 and they sent paramedics within like 6 minutes or something. They got there. But they said I had blood coming out of my eyes, nose, ears. And there was blood at the bottom of the stairs, which is why if you've watched the Netflix thing about the staircase, I've got a few ideas about all of that stuff because there was blood everywhere. It was all weird, but I didn't know what was going on. And the paramedic said, this is bad. Like, they'd called for an ambulance, but then they said, no, it's more than that. So they called for air ambulance. So East Anglia Air Ambulance came, which I'm eternally grateful for. What they do is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's they're a charity-run organisation. They only get a small amount of funding from the government. Mm. But my mum, who's about 5'2", tiny little lady, I'm 5'10", so she's just the tiniest, cutest little thing. She had to run up to the park at the top of the hill with a flashlight, a torch, to signal that that was where the helicopter had to land. And so,
oh, bless her, she must have been absolutely terrified.
Yeah, she said there was a man walking a dog and smoking a fag on the phone, and he was like, oh, I've got to go, something's going on here, because there's this tiny little woman like...
Yeah, and she's probably in panic mode, wanting to know that you're all right, and wanting to make sure, obviously,
Her and Chris dealt with it incredibly well. Like, they're both the most calm, most, like, I don't know, they just dealt with it amazingly. And Chris has done all sorts for the police, Ministry of Defence. He's been in Afghanistan. He's just an absolute legend. So they just dealt with it without getting too upset. And popped me in the helicopter. And they drove over because they flew me into Cambridge to Adam Brooks Hospital to go and have it all sorted out. And they got there and the surgeons and everything, they said it was, my head was so fragmented, there were just fractures and it was caving in, and it was obviously in a bad way. Oh, I was put in an induced coma before I got in the helicopter. So that's one thing I think I've got it easiest out of everybody, because I didn't have to see it, I don't have to remember it. But anyone that came to see me in hospital had to see someone roped up with a head this big eventually in a coma for nearly a month. It was bad.
Wow.
So they took out the big partial, the big bit of my skull and trying to tidy up the other bits, but it was all crumbled. It was just like an absolute mess in there. And so I stayed in a coma for a few weeks. And people were coming to visit me, apparently, like I don't know. And then they took me out of the coma a little bit before Christmas, but I didn't know what was going on. And they warned my family that, like, when I came out, I was like a child, so they were giving me like flashing toys and soft cuddly things because I didn't really know what was going on. My dad lived abroad. Oh, no, he still lives abroad, but in a different place. But him and his wife came over from Abu Dhabi. So, they saw me and were just getting me like little puppets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not really knowing what was going on. And then after a while, I was a bit more aware of what was happening. A bit more awake. I wasn't aware what was happening.
Yeah.
I remember having doctors and nurses and everyone coming over, and many times in the day they'd be asking me the same questions. And I thought, are they stupid? They were like, do you know where you are? And I'm thinking, he's in a doctor's outfit with a clipboard, but I'm in a hospital.
But for everybody else, like, it's incredible that you are alive. But for yourself... Yeah. You're like,
I didn't know what they were talking about. But what turned out, what they were doing was testing my memory to know what I remembered. Yeah. And they'd be asking my name, and it'd be on a board next to me. I'd be like, it's Francesca Burt. All day long. And it was really annoying me. But then one point, one of the ladies asked me what my full name was. And I was like, it's Francesca Burt. And they said, no, you've got a middle name. And I was like, I don't know, I don't think so. And they said, it's Chelsea. And I was like, no way. No. My mum would never have agreed to Chelsea's a middle name. No chance. And she poked her head round and she was like, it was a compromise with your dad. And you would have been, so you were Francesca Chelsea Burr.
You were.
So, So I didn't know that.
And that is after the football team.
Yeah, absolutely after the football team. So...
And how long did it take to rehabilitate after, sort of, from that moment onwards?
I'd say I'm still getting there. Like, there's so much I've lost. And it's this thing called traumatic amnesia or retrograde amnesia, where you block out the build up to an event, but you also lose parts of your memory. And things like my date of birth, I didn't know my date of birth, which seems like, why, of all the things, why would you forget that? And I remembered my uncle's date of birth, and we've got the same birthday, which is stupid, but the neuropsychologist said to me, in a traumatic event, your brain, like everything in your head is stored in different compartments, think of it like that. And things like your name, your date of birth, you can remember them again, you can just learn them again. Your birthday, no one remembers their birthday. They're told their birthday, and so they accept that that's it.
Yeah.
So I just had to relearn it. So now I know my birthday, but it doesn't feel like it's my birthday, if that makes sense. So it's really weird. Yeah. There are some things I've forgotten that I'm really happy I forgot, and other things I wish I'd forgotten. But then there's some things I said to my older brother, I think there's something wrong with mum and dad. My parents haven't been together since I was, I think, 10. And at this point, I was 26 or 27, I can't remember. What a surprise. but Pete was like, what do you mean? And I said, I've seen her kissing a man. And it was Chris, the man who I'd been living with, who saved me and picked me up off the floor. God. But this is that early on out of the coma that I was like a child.
Yeah.
I didn't realise
anything.
Like, nothing made any sense to me.
Yeah.
And so he sat me down and, well, no, I was already lying down. But he said, no, that's Chris. We love him. They got married years ago. He's great. Blah, blah, blah. And so I just was like, okay.
That could have been really, a serious situation. Yeah. Do you, I mean, I had chemo, so it's a slightly different thing, but I get the memory thing because I lost how to do things.
I remember you saying that in your episode, actually, and I was like, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. The thing that I really notice is writing. I had to almost... Because I think everybody's got their own style of writing. We all write completely differently. Yeah. And I still do it to this day. I always feel like I lost my style of writing. And I have to work at it all the time. And and sometimes when I write things, I forget what I'm talking about. And I have to really think about what I'm writing. It's the bizarrest feeling, but... That for me is, but it's still really noticeable for me.
I think that's really distressing, to be honest. And I'm the same. Not like my fine motor skills aren't the same, which is why my art is slow. Yeah. It's not the same as it was because my head's having to rejig everything, and so I'm really having to try a lot harder. But I couldn't remember my signature, so I've now got a brand new signature. I don't know how I did the last one. I saw on one of my driving licence and I was like, what the hell is that? So now I've got a different signature. But the memory thing is a real problem, and it really upsets me, actually, because I used to love reading, watching TV, films, stuff like that. But my head, I get so confused, and my short-term memory is so poor that if I'm reading a book, by the end of a paragraph, I don't know what happened. The build-up was to that, and so then I go back and reread and blah. So now I just read books I've read before that I know I like.
Yeah.
I can't remember all the details of, but I know I'll enjoy it.
But it's like retraining, though, isn't it, your brain to... And I guess in time that might come back in terms of reading a book. But...
They've said, actually, that because of the parts of my brain that have been affected, some things are trainable. Other things are just, you just find a way around it. But a lot of it is likened to Alzheimer's. And there's not actually a way to do it. So they kept talking about these neural pathways when I came out. And you have to build up these neural pathways and teach yourself to do this, that and the other. And some of them, they don't just sew up together again. And it's a neat, lovely thing. Which is why, especially with having a baby, when they're first born, everything is about their neural pathways, which is why you have black and white things and then colour things and sound and blah, and you're teaching them to build these things.
Yeah, music.
And I loved it because he gets to do it all from scratch, And there are some things in my head that can't be done again, which is really hard to accept. But I get to see him do it. And he's got his own skull. I've got a titanium plate keeping mine together. He just grew his on his own. Yeah.
But it's quite incredible that you've, like, out of all these quite, you know, I think they are really traumatic events and experiences, you've got a wonderful little, you know, being who will give you a lot of hope, a lot of this life journey that you're now on together. That's how I feel about, you know, what I went through and having my child. He's like the most important thing in my whole life. I don't care about anything else. It's our little bond, and I don't know, this sounds quite strange because everybody loves their children, but when you have been through traumatic experiences, having just a little person kind of brings you out of such, you know, depths of despair sometimes.
Absolutely agree.
It's, you know, even if they do something very small, like, I don't know, it's like the first moment they have solid food, so I can, you know, or the first time that they go to school. I remember just being so emotional and people were like, okay. And I was like, but you don't understand, I might not have even been here to
Absolutely.
See this.
Yeah. I think, like, Bowdoin's given me a purpose now because I'm not well enough to be teaching and to be doing this, that and the other. Like, I can't physically or cognitively do those things, but... I can look after this incredible child. And we've got such a good relationship. He's like his little mama's boy. And
so how long after everything did you get pregnant?
So it was 2018 I was pregnant. So a year and a bit after I came out of hospital.
Yeah.
But doctors were saying to me, it'll be 18 months, maybe 3 years before you're better. And I was like, that's nothing. I'll be fine. But they were talking about recovering from surgery. They weren't talking about that. When you've had a traumatic brain injury, it doesn't actually change. You're a completely different person because you're rewired.
Yeah,
which is it's horrible. And I was so down about it. And the neuro rehab nurse was saying you can go through a grieving process because you're losing the life that you had before, because you aren't the same person and you cannot possibly be the same person. Which is something it was horrible to have to accept. And people would say to me, oh no, you're the same, you're the coolest person in the world, obviously. That's a joke. I know they're being nice, but in my head I'm thinking, oh, I'm really coming to terms that I'm not that same person. I'm all right, but it's not the same. It was a weird one. But bear in mind, I still was having seizures left, right and centre.
Oh,
and
Did you have a seizure whilst you
loads,
were pregnant?
Loads and loads and loads.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that fucking freaked me out.
And because my blood type, I'm O negative, we've got really rare ones.
Yeah.
And I'd love to donate. Very I can't rare. Until I'm not on medication, but like...
So how was your pregnancy?
Yeah.
It was so strange. I was not one of those, and to be honest, I was never even one of those girls that was like, oh, I want three kids and I want them to be called this, that and the other.
Chelsea,
come over here. I may have been born in Brentford, but no.
Bradley and Chelsea.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. But no, I love teaching, I love children. I've got three amazing nephews and a gorgeous niece as well. And I love being the aunt, and that was all fine. But then as I was with Bowdoin's dad, obviously, and we were like, no, I think, yeah, that'd be a really good thing. And I thought I was capable as well. So I got pregnant pretty easy. To be fair, there was a loss first, the dad was really, really upset. And I wasn't, because I wasn't surprised, because it was kind of defying the odds that I'd even get pregnant with EDS and coming so soon out of hospital. So I was like, oh, it was a real shame. But it wasn't a surprise. It was a surprise that managed to have a baby the whole way through. It was like, that was unbelievable. Yeah. It was so, so good. Yeah. I'm really proud of myself, I'm not going to lie.
We're proud of you as well.
Well,
fucking
thank
hell.
You.
Jesus. And he's gorgeous.
He's an absolute babe. But yeah, so during pregnancy...
Did you have sickness?
No, I had none of the normal symptoms at all. No sickness, nothing. I mean, I wasn't well, but it wasn't a pregnancy thing. But every time I had a...
Did they keep a check on you so much? I bet you were...
And they were just incredible. And this was at Colchester General Hospital. And there was one lady from the neuro rehab team that looped up everybody from Adam Brooks and the maternity ward and everything, and got everyone in check. So everyone knew the situation. Because every time I explained it, I didn't know if I was forgetting to mention something or ask something. So they had loads of scans the whole way through. Every time I had a seizure, I was falling forwards, and so that's a real bad thing. And because I was rhesus negative, I had to go and have this anti-D injection, which is funny.
Yes.
Just because if there was a blood crossover, then my body might reject the placenta or the anything, because the bloods wouldn't match up. And it turns out Bowden's positive, so it was a really good thing. And there was definitely blood transfer in two of the cases when they were really, really bad. I didn't feel really maternal. And, I think life is just not like TV adverts. It was not a big Pampers advert where I was like, oh, look at my womb. Stroke my big tummy. I thought it was gross. It was weird. I needed to wee all the time. It was just really weird. Not that I wasn't happy.
So you don't want another one then?
No, not now. Or just because, I don't know, I've got Bowden. No. I get to focus on him. I just feel so lucky. I still can't believe it happened, and he's here and he's perfect.
So how old is he? Is he 18?
He is nearly 20 months, 21. Wait, when was he born? January. What day? I don't even know what month it is. Is it October? Yes, yeah, October now.
It's October.
We're in October.
So he's nearly 21 months. There'll be two in January, near your birthday, Amy. Good early January.
All the best people are born in January.
They're the best.
So does he? Is he sort of starting to speak? He's walking. Does he know things about you that are different? Does he? Does he sort of sense? Does he touch your head?
Oddly, yes. But so did my dog. And do you know what I like? And I talk about Bert and Bowden so much. Bert's the dog that saw me, but he's. He's also I remember messaging George and Pip actually saying, Bert keeps licking my tummy. It was so weird. And this is, and then the day later, my appendix was bursting. And they're like, dogs have got that extra sense.
Oh my God.
And I think Bowden has as well.
Yeah.
He knows if I'm really, really bad. He just sits there and he does this thing at the moment where he really locks his fingers with me and holds my hand really tight and then cuddles up. And it's just the most adorable thing. So,
it's a comfort thing as well, isn't it?
So.
For children and pets, I think. Like, you know, I think they want to protect you.
Yeah.
And they have that sense. They do. And like your children will. It just likes to stroke my boob and it's like, you know, that's my stomach. But he went through a stage of not wanting to touch it because obviously... You know, I guess the scars and what was going on. But now he likes to hang on my bra and he likes to put his hand there. And it's like a comfort thing.
That's lovely.
And actually, although, you know, after he's nearly seven, it's like, oh, for God's sake, ow. In the morning, I still quite like it. It's a comfort.
Yeah.
It's weird. It is.
They realise way more than you ever think they do, I think. And that's a really lovely thing.
And you need that anyway, because I think it's like there's something, I think there's a transfer of energy from your child to you when when there's something going on in your body or your brain or, you know, or in your emotion, there's a transfer of energy from your child to you to try and, I guess, try and pick you up, try and make you feel better.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like a really weird thing to describe, but that's how I feel about
I think so too. And even in pregnancy, actually, if there was ever someone shouting in our house, it would be times like that that my tummy would hurt and I'd feel even weirder. Yeah. When he was a very little baby, he was so chilled out. But then something might happen and he'd cry. And it's not because he heard the noises of it, but there was just it was like an atmosphere. I'm not trying to, I'm not believing in angels or anything, but it was just an awareness that something wasn't right.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's definitely linked with mothers to children, 100%.
Definitely.
So,
Definitely. So do you live on your own then? Do you, I mean, you've got your bracelet, your watch thing, which I guess is a comfort to you, but doesn't stop
it's
anything.
More a comfort to my mum and brother, and like, because they just, so they know what's going on.
Do they like ring you? Do they like ring you like all the time? I'd be messaging constantly.
No, only if there's a real, like, if the alarm goes off and they call up and say, are you okay? Yeah. Or if I don't answer, then they come round or go to wherever I am.
Okay.
I had a seizure on the way to the hospital to go and have a bloody EEG machine fitted overnight.
Oh God.
And I was just on the street, and George and Chris both came to come get me because my mum was teaching, and they took me to hospital. So it's good.
I'm just gonna get a big thing of bubble wrap. I'm just gonna put it around you, and then you can wheel yourself around in that. I just that's just crumbs.
Are they very close to you?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, they are amazing. Cool, like, it's so, so good. And they have an understanding of what life with a brain injury is like more than anybody.
Yeah.
Because they know, like, the difficulties, the things that I really struggle with, like, to make a decision on, or to remember to do this, or why I've got a million alarms and a different calendar for this and all these things.
Yeah.
So they help me with things. If I'm having to fill out a form, I don't know how to explain myself or what's I don't know. It's really hard.
Do you put get that knees?
Oh, so you put that video up of all your drugs and of all the boxes, and I thought, oh, that was like a month's worth, but it was like a week's worth or something ridiculous. How many tablets do you take every day?
27.
Fucking
hell. And that's not painkillers.
Oh, that's that's just your normal medication.
But it's because it's so difficult.
Even managing that
it's really bad, because
even remembering.
Yeah, well, that's why I have to do it. That, like, it's like a military operation in this house. Like, everything has to be done meticulously, because otherwise, if I miss something, you don't know what's going to happen. But I'm on all these different medications to try and monitor, or to try and stop epilepsy. But it's been found that I'm having epileptic and non-epileptic seizures. Non-epileptics aren't triggered by medication. But anyone can have a non-epileptic seizure. Epilepsy is to do with electricity in your brain. Whereas non-epileptic is not at all. And anyone can get them after a brain injury even. So people in a car crash might just start having seizures after. And so it's we're trying to find ways to stop that. Nothing's working yet, but he'll get there.
Oh, fingers crossed.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Can you just talk about, because on your page you talk about a charity that you're quite connected to. I think we should sort of finish on that, because you've got a lot of lovely things to say, and just like people to be aware of.
Absolutely. So Headway is a charity that helps people with brain injuries, whether they are acquired or traumatic. So that could be like from an accident or a stroke, things like that. And they have been the most incredible support since coming out of hospital. So like I mentioned, they were saying it would be at least 18 months to 2 hours better. That was what they said out of hospital, but that was to do with like a clinical way of recovering.
Yeah.
Whereas Headway were the ones that helped me learn to live with a new brain, and to understand why things are a certain way, what things might help to cope with it. So that's why I've learned to do all these, like, basically, because my memory's so bad, so having the alarms and having to write things down and asking for help for this, that and the other. But they do other things. Loads of people, like, my fine motor skills aren't great, but they get people in community teams, we go and do an art lesson or a food lesson. Actually, one thing I'm really excited that they're going to be doing, I think COVID's paused everything for everybody, but one thing that lots of people suffer with after a brain injury, which I definitely do, is loss of smell and taste, which is really horrible because I love food. But like, imagine everything you eat, you don't actually taste. So I get a sense, I can feel food. So I feel really hot stuff, like spicy, and I've always loved spice, so that's good. Yeah. I put chili in, like actual chili in my porridge the other day, just because I didn't want something sweet. I just wanted to feel a bit of like spice, because so I did that.
Something different in your mouth.
Rather than just mush, it could be anything, it doesn't matter. But although, like, weirdly, I can smell, I don't know, I smell like smoke off of like a bonfire. I think I could get a sense of that. And once, when Bowden had a nappy, I thought I could smell something, but it didn't smell gross. It smelled like camembert cheese. And I was like, oh, I like camembert. So it didn't, like, put me off. But I think that's actually one of my superpowers with having a baby, because I don't sleep much. So everyone's like, oh, get your sleep now before you got a baby. And it's like, girl, I never sleep. So that was no trouble.
I never sleep.
And then smelly nappies, not a problem for me. Don't care. And I can't hear properly out of one ear. No, I can't hear properly out of both ears, but I can barely hear out of this ear. But I can hear a little bit out of this. So if it was really screeching cries, I could hear him and I know he needed help, but it wasn't like, this is keeping me up.
So
I've got loads of superpowers. I think it's great.
Oh, God. And so headway, so you, do you almost get paired with somebody to help you on that journey, or is it just a collective of people?
I have got one main lady called Angie in Colchester, and she's a dream. She's been amazing. Just basically helping you adjust to a new life, which sounds really dramatic, but they're not that way. And they helped me to have to apply for benefits for not working, and to make sure my medication was always regulated, and to look after a baby. Because on paper, I should not be allowed a child. Yeah. But I'm doing I think I'm doing a pretty good job. And I'm not worried. I'm never worried. I'm always grateful.
Yeah.
Like you said, Harry, because you might not have even been here to get to enjoy this.
Yeah.
But they've helped me.
Yeah, every day is
exactly. And Headway have truly helped me come to terms with that. That's good.
How old was Bowden when you and the father separated?
Well, we weren't together when he was about 3 months. I was like, I can't do this anymore. But I stayed there to try and get a house nearby so that he could come and see him and blah, blah. And then stuff changed and I had to leave quickly. So I've been just with Bowden since he was 6 months old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tiny little one.
I don't know. You've done it.
So do you get every other weekend to yourself?
No, I do. I have him like 6 days in a row, and then his dad has him for a couple, and then it goes again because his dad does shift work, so it changes every week. We're actually on really good terms now, and it's good. Bowden doesn't know any difference, so it's fine.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And you need that space for a day anyway to start to recalibrate yourself, to re sort of invigorate yourself for the next six days. It's like, you know, I just don't think people realise how tough it can be when you're trying to recover, looking after a child or a baby. I mean, they're not children, they're babies. They, you know, it's a little baby. And it's like, and if you don't sleep, then...
Yeah. It's tough. It's
nightmare.
Tough. But I don't know what it is. Even if I'm really tired, I just think, oh my God, or if he's crying or if he's being messy, I think I get to clean that up. Like I'm the one that's allowed to do it.
Yeah.
I think I'm the luckiest girl in the world for so many reasons.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good.
Yeah. But that will make you sort of carry on.
Always.
That will spur you on. That won't ever change because they just get funnier, naughtier.
Oh, big time.
Cleverer.
Big time.
You know, more mischievous.
He's the funniest stand-up comedian that doesn't even speak much I've ever seen in my life. I just laugh all the time. Oh. He's amazing.
And you're bringing him up bilingual as well, aren't you?
Oui.
Are you French? A little bit of French in you as well.
Oh, no, I'm pure English, but I learned French and did my degree in French. I lived in France for a year, and that was.
Do you remember? So you didn't have to relearn the French. That kind of came.
That's so weird, actually. When you were talking about writing, because when I was reading English, like in the hospital, they'd get me to read things, and I could read the words, but I couldn't. My head couldn't process what the words meant in a sentence.
Yeah.
But they give me a bit of French because my mum was like, if she can't speak French, she's going to be like, she's going to want to die. But I could some way of doing it. So I was reading the French and in my head's going, that means this in English. And that was really clicking straight away. So
right.
I'm so glad that that's still there.
That's amazing, isn't it?
And does Bowden, do you teach him French then along the way? Do you kind of speak to him in French?
So we've gone down this, it's the OPOL route, one parent, one language. So I only speak to him in French. We only watch French films, we only read French books, all that stuff. One of his first words was encore. Instead of saying more, he was going, encore. It's like again. And I was just like, I started crying. I was like, it's happening. That was so good.
That's so amazing.
Oh, thanks so much for coming
on. It's been great.
It's lovely to see you.
It's been brilliant. I'm sure we'll get you on again, or maybe we'll do some face-to-face stuff with
yes,
with
please
kids.
Do. That'd be so funny.
Yes, we're going to come and see you.
That would be great.
And we'll share all the stuff about the charity, because obviously if people want to get involved to help.
Oh, yeah, because of all the coronavirus, all events have been stopped, haven't they?
Yeah.
And they rely on their events.
Yes. And it's a charity.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a charity. So we need to keep supporting it. Oh, it's been amazing to speak
it's
to
been
you.
Amazing.
You're a real inspiration.
Stay there, because I've got to get the girls to
I know when you get told it, it's like, oh, fuck off. But it's true, you really
I just think
are.
We're so lucky for the NHS. Imagine this was in America.
Yeah,
I'd be dead. 100%. I couldn't afford that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
No. I'd have one boob and the other no boob.
I'd have one.
Not, be like that. So yeah, definitely.
Oh,
I think I'm gonna go, but I know that Amy probably wants to have a gossip with you. So
yeah,
thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Take care.
So that was podcast number 35.
Because Amy just looked at her little spreadsheet.
I just looked at my
little
spreadsheet.
Yep.
But yeah, that was lovely.
That was lovely.
Love Francesca.
Please, everybody, be safe.
Yeah, be safe.
Don't
buy her artwork.
Yeah.
I've still got to go and see her, actually. I was supposed to go and see her the other day, but obviously we're on lockdown now again, aren't we? So
when
we're off, I'm going to go and pay her a little visit.
Definitely.
Meet the gorgeous boy who's just a cute.
Oh, her boy is
world.
Well cute.
Yeah. Bonjour.
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 And that's amazing as well. I wish I spoke another language.
I know.
Do you speak Welsh?
I do. Tippenbach. A little bit. Yeah, I do. I do. A little bit. Well, I was Welsh speaking until I was 9. I couldn't speak much English.
Yeah.
And then when we moved to Pembrokeshire, that's when I really started to learn English properly. So yeah, I was Welsh up until that point. That was my main language. And then when we moved, it's English. No, I really don't. I mean, I do remember a lot of it.
Yeah.
And if people, we've got friends who are Welsh speakers and who went to Welsh schools in Pembrokeshire. That's where I should have gone, really. But my mum decided to put me in an English speaking school.
Yeah.
When you listen to them speak, you can just kind of pick it up. But it's a lot. It's a hard one. It's a different alphabet.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like double L's, double T's, double D's.
Wow.
I wish I had double D's.
Wish I had double B's.
You wish you had double A's, love.
I am actually a double D.
Are you?
Because they're so far back. Round my fucking arms.
What, your nipples?
Yeah. Oh, God, they're just disappearing.
Bless you.
But yeah, so please subscribe. Please share this podcast as well, because I'd like everyone to be aware of her story. Because she was in The Sun, actually, about it.
Oh, was she?
But it was like model. So, you know, that was obviously that to get... Talk about her looks first, even though I do bang on about how beautiful she is.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like artist.
It was in The Sun.
Yeah, she was in The Sun. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'll post a link to that and everything else.
Not The Sun. No.
No.
I'll post a link to her art. Her art's incredible her little boy and her story and her life, really. And it's good for other people, I think, to hear, because you never know. Somebody who might have gone through a similar experience might listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially with the epilepsy as well, I think that's...
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not what I mean, eh?
Yes, well, enjoy, subscribe and share.
And share, share, share.
Thanks.
Share.
Bye.
Share. Share.
Work time.
Work.
If I could find
everything. Was that the one that was a number work. One for like 7 years?
I don't know, but are we still recording?
Yeah, okay, bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.